meeting, January 10th, 2023. I'd like to welcome those in our audience that have come to join us today, whether you're citizens that have come to share information on a topic or if you're applicants, we appreciate your input either way. Staff, thank you for coming this evening and for the documents that were prepared. And then we do have our full planning commission here this evening. So I think with that, we're ready to proceed with our first item of business this evening, which is a motion to approve the agenda as printed.
Madam Chair, I move to approve this evening's agenda as published.
Okay, thank you. I will second that motion. All in favor?
Yes.
Right. Any opposed?
Yes.
Okay. No. Okay, great. All right, our next item is to approve our minutes from the December 13th, 2022 meeting. I assume everyone's had an opportunity to review those. Is there anything we need to note for change? Okay. Then I am ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to extend a motion that we approve the minutes as published in the packet for the last meeting.
Okay. We have a motion, and I will second that motion. All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Okay. Any opposed? All right. That passes. So we do have a Planning Commission business item, two of them this evening. We need to elect our chair and our vice chair for this year. This would probably also be our opportunity to discuss if there's any other positions that we need or that we would like to see implemented. And then our other item is to appoint a representative to the Architectural Review Committee. Commissioner Catmull has been serving in that position. He indicated that the meetings are usually the day following our meetings, the next morning at 8:30. There is not a meeting tomorrow. However, those meetings are not too common, maybe once a month at most. So, and that's just an opportunity to meet with the Architectural Review Committee to review any application that an applicant has brought forward for review with that committee before it shows up here. So with those two things, let's start with item number one, electing a Planning Commission chair and vice chair. Let's start with the Planning Commission chair. I am open to nominations for that position.
Madam Chair, can you give me some historic context around this and nominations and how that works in terms and expectations?
Boy, so if I say this wrong, somebody correct me, especially staff. These positions we usually appoint for the year. We'll revisit them in January for reappointment. In the past, since I've been on, we have operated with just a chair and a vice chair. That individual tends to run these meetings. Sometimes there is some communication with the mayor. I've sometimes been very good about going to city council meetings so that I can brief the staff or the planning commission when things come up. I have not been as good this last year. It is not technically a requirement. We could probably make a motion that that is a requirement, although Commissioner Bevins, when you weren't here last month, suggested that potentially we set up a schedule and have a representative at every meeting. Good. That is a lot, obviously, and so we had talked about a rotation. Okay. And so potentially just having anyone on the commission that is available on those alternate Tuesdays, okay, set up some sort of a rotation. Vice chair is what Commissioner Gedge has been serving in this past year. He fills in when I'm not available, helps run the meetings. That's historically what that role has involved since I've been on the commission. Staff, are you aware of any other expectations that that role has historically filled?
No, not that you said well. So.
Okay.
And do each of us were appointed, I assume, here by a councilman or women. Does that have any sway in things as they are cycling off or potentially running for re-election? Does that impact duration for the council?
I don't think so.
I believe this, our terms align
with their term.
Right.
Is the only.
Okay, it's not an election year then.
Well,
yes, it, yeah,
it is an election year for some.
For some.
But
okay,
everybody on this commission is entitled to stay in this role through the remainder of this year. So
oh,
nobody's term is ending before this year ends. And so I think that's why we do it annually, because if there were anybody new to the commission, they would have shown up
okay
at this meeting and been sworn in.
I see.
Yeah, for example, I know my term, this is the final year of my initial four-year term.
And mine.
And I think, Commissioner Darby, is that true or is it someone else?
I think I'm offset like two
okay
years.
No, I thought you showed up the same time he did.
Yeah, but I was appointed
right
in the middle.
Got it.
Because
okay
someone moved out
then
of.
And you're new.
Trevor got put in the same time I did.
Yeah.
Again.
Okay.
Okay.
I was reappointed.
Is the mayor up for re-election this year?
No.
Mayor, okay. Same year as
so maybe it's Steve, or maybe you're up. Is this your fourth year?
Mm-hmm.
So the three of us. Yeah. But we will be here the full year. Yeah. Or we. Well, unless, I intend to be.
Unless we're removed or we resign on our own.
that takes a vote of the city council. That wouldn't be a vote of us.
Oh, I see. So. Okay. Thank you. That's good context. It helps me understand.
Madam Chair, if you are not opposed, I would like to nominate Michelle Hollis to be chair of the Planning Commission.
Okay, so we do have a nomination. At this time, I do not mind this role. I enjoy it. However, if there's somebody that has an interest, thinks that maybe they could move these meetings along a little faster than me, I'm open to that.
I think you've done a great job, and I'd like to second that motion.
Okay. Are there any other nominations for this position? Okay. Then I will close nominations, and we'll take a vote. All of those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay.
That's quicker than the House of Representatives. Sorry, had to make a little humor there.
I think a little more tower associated with that role. Okay, then at this time I'm going to open up nominations for our vice chair. Again, would fill in for me when I can't be at meetings, help coordinate any business that we would have. Is there anybody interested in that role? Otherwise, I think the status quo will stand.
I would not be opposed if, unless anyone else would like to volunteer.
Madam Chair, I'd like to nominate Nathan Gedge to serve as vice chair.
Okay, we have a nomination and a second. Do we have any other nominations for vice chair? Okay, then I'm going to close nominations and let's take a vote. All of those in favor of Nathan Gedge serving as the vice chair for the Planning Commission this year, please so indicate.
Yes.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Commissioner Gedge, welcome back.
You're not allowed to miss any meetings.
No promises. All right. Next item of business is having a representative to the Architectural Review Committee. Commissioner Campbell, did I represent what your role has been accurately?
Yeah, I would say I may have only actually gotten 5 or 6 meetings in last year, and it seems like it really tailed off as the interest rates went climbed.
Okay. Well, and I served, I think, the year before you, and again, the meetings weren't more than once a month. Probably not even that, because I think we were still doing some COVID things. Is there anyone interested in this position? Let's start with that before we nominate somebody unwilling.
If Steve doesn't want to do it, I'm happy to do it. I have time in the mornings. But if Steve wants to do it, by all means.
I'm good.
Okay, then I will nominate Laurel Bevins as our representative to the Architectural Review Committee.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a nomination and a second. Do we have any other nominations for this position? Okay, then I will close nominations and let's do a vote. All of those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed? Okay. Staff, will you make sure Ms. Bevins' information gets to, I do not remember who coordinates that.
Oh, it would be Becky Messer who coordinates the meeting.
Will you let Becky know so she can be emailed?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you so much. I had one other item I just wanted to mention in passing. I noticed that Mr. Jarman has been serving with the city for 15 years. So congratulations. That's an accomplishment. Thank you for what you do. All right, staff, any business for us this evening?
I have one item. We have a new planner in our office, and he is sitting in the front row, and his name is Miguel Aguilera, and he started yesterday.
Oh, wow.
He's replacing Ian Harris, moved on.
Who left?
Ian.
Oh.
He moved on to Cottonwood Heights. So
I remember when he was an intern.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome. We appreciate you attending this evening and look forward to hearing from you in the future. So. Mr. Simonson.
I just noticed that we have an empty seat for the meeting transcriptionist, and I want to make sure that we don't have any issues making the. I assume we don't have any problems, but
no, I'm taking them all.
Okay. Is she on the Zoom? She's on the Zoom format.
I take them anyway.
She's on Zoom.
Okay. Well, she's missed.
One other thing I wanted to let you know that you brought up at the last meeting maybe opportunities to be on other committees and so forth and boards and so forth within the city. The council has, I believe, passed an ordinance many years ago stating that you can only serve on one appointed board or committee in the city at a time. So, and that's for all of them. So not just the planning commission, but any board or committee, they can only serve on that board or committee.
So question then, we just nominated for the art committee. Is that because we have a designated representative on that committee?
The architecture review committee is not an official committee that was authorized by the city council. It was one that was set up by our city manager many, many years ago, and they never changed it to have it officially authorized where they make the appointments. Okay. They do not make any appointments of the individuals on the ARC. That's up to the planning commission to appoint who you appoint for your, they do appoint their representative, but the rest of the residents that are on it, the other, they are all appointed or chosen by the staff.
So it'd be okay for us if we wanted, like we tied a discussion about city council representative, to have an informal representative or a volunteer, just not an official appointment to be that designate, I guess?
I think we're going to rotate versus the...
Yeah, okay.
So actually, sorry, back to that. Who would be willing to be in some sort of a rotation on some basis? Okay.
Maybe modification for me anyway. I'm willing to take a turn. I just don't know if it will always be on a Tuesday night. Like I may have to listen to the recording or I may not attend in person, but I can report back out.
How quickly are those recordings available?
For city council, are they the next day? The next day.
Okay. I think that's fair. Is that something you might be able to do? And it's okay to say no?
I'd be happy to be an alternate. Okay. The next quarter, I'm traveling quite a bit, so I would hate to be unavailable.
Okay. All right, I will float some sort of a draft for covering those meetings, and then we can make switches as needed. Mr. Simonson, did you get an opportunity to say what you needed to?
Yes.
Okay.
I have one other one. Mm-hmm. also, you... talked about a joint meeting with the city council. It's scheduled for March 7th, and it will be during the work session. And
is that at 4:30 then?
4:30, and it will. I wrote down in my notes some specifics of it. Let's see if I can get into that. Okay, so basically it'll take up at least half of the work session time. And also if you have topics, you should direct those directly to staff, and then we will pass them on to the city council because they will come up with their own as well for the other half of the meeting. So I guess that's what that is. Half and half will be what they want to talk about, and the other half could be things that you want to discuss. And they might be the same things as well, so who knows. But that's the way they've asked us to have you go through us to the staff with your topics of conversation with them, and then we'll present them to them, and they'll determine which ones they want to talk about, I guess, with you.
Mr. Simonson, will that count towards training, do you know, or will it depend on the topic?
Oh, that's another thing, because there will be a training session too.
Okay, great. I'll start an email over the next 2 weeks so we can brainstorm topics that we would like to discuss in that session. Staff, is that all of our business for this evening?
Yes, it is. Finally.
Okay. All right, then let's get started. Our first item this evening is under our administrative public hearings, and that is item H1, the Sega Lily Day Spa site plan application. And Greg has our staff report, which is not daybreak, which is a little unusual for Greg.
Yes, it is. This project was actually assigned to Ian, and it was supposed to come forward to you originally back in April of 2022. However, the applicant at that time decided to pause the application because they were considering other locations. But since then, they've decided that this is the best location, so they want to move forward. And so that's why it's being brought to you now. And while I'm presenting it, because Ian was no longer here, in fact, I think they left several messages on his phone after he left, and nobody answered them because nobody knew they were on his phone. So finally, reached out to me through email, and I responded that he had left. So the project is located at the southwest corner of South Jordan Parkway and Willow Valley Road. That's out near near the Costco area there. Costco is just a little further south and west. It's not on this aerial photo. The building will be a two-story building, two-story structure. I can go move on to that. You get the layout there. The materials board. The materials, it went through the architecture review committee with a positive recommendation to the planning commission for approval. It meets all the requirements for parking on site. The parking will be at the rear of the building. The access to the building, there will be access directly to Willow Valley Road, and then also they can go through the parking lot. The adjacent site is it's America First Credit Union, I believe, there, and they can access their parking lots and so forth will be connected. So if somebody wanted to go, they can go through the other parking lot to get to the light if they're trying to make a left-hand turn on South Jordan Parkway. But if they're going east, it'll be simpler to go out on Willow Valley Road. They have their landscaping plan, meets all of our requirements for landscaping, especially our water efficient requirements that were implemented in 2021. I don't believe there is any turf in there, but there might be a little bit in there, but it doesn't exceed the 20% that's allowed. So other than that, there's not much else to say. We sent out notices to all residents within 300 feet, all property owners within 300 feet, and had no comments made. So I don't think there's any opposition to this project going through. It's not a condition. There's no conditional use required because there wouldn't be any detrimental effects anyway that we could find, even if there was. So on this, so we're recommending approval of the site plan and the building itself.
Thank you, commissioners. Any questions for staff?
I have one. Do you happen to know, or did anyone check if there were any comments sent in from the public back in April when this first hit our agendas?
I don't believe there was any back then because I remember when it was scheduled to come on and Ian hadn't mentioned that he had any comments on that. But I don't know for sure because we didn't look back.
I didn't see anything in my email when I went back to April. I just wanted to double check.
Other questions? Is the applicant present this evening? Would you like to add anything to our staff report?
Hi, my name is Garrett Goff. I'm with Garden Development. We also operate Sega Lily business. We have three locations. We have Layton, Bountiful, and Midvale. And part of the other reason for the pause last April was due to labor. We looked at our other three locations, and massage therapists were hard to come by. Labor was hard to come by. Interest rates were doing what they were doing. And so we did push pause at that time. We always knew we wanted to be in South Jordan because currently our flagship is in Midvale, just in Fort Union. I grew up in the East Sandy area, and so a lot of us that grew up there that knew Sega Lily ended up in South Jordan, and so we always knew we wanted to end up in this city because of everyone knows what Sega Lily Day Spot is. But the building is beautiful. The architect has done a phenomenal job of designing it. You can see some of the contours and the roundness of the building actually is trying to look like a flower of some kind that's blooming. There's been a lot of thought and a lot of care and detail that have gone into this over the last years, and we really think that this would be our new flagship for our spa, and we really look forward to partnering with South Jordan City on this. And I'd ask if you guys have any questions for me about the building or anything.
I have one. Just what are your general hours of operation?
Hours of operation right now are 9 to 7, Monday through Friday, and 9 to 9 on the week on Saturday, on closed Sundays.
Thanks.
Tell me about the business model. Is it subscription-based? What kinds of services will be available?
Sure. So it's not subscription-based. It's go online and you book a massage therapist. We do the 60 minutes, the 90 minutes. They do the Vichy rubs, which the water kind of falls, and they do that. They're starting to look into different medical device things where, you know, I'm not really familiar with it, but the needles that, what's that called?
Acupuncture,
sure. So they do some of that as well. They have all the licensing and things like that required. So yeah, just your typical spa. And then they do facials as well and pedicures and have a good pedicure room. And yeah. Any other questions? I also have a rendering. You guys have one, but if you guys like, I could pass this around and you could see a blow up of it. Sure. Oh, and also the architect is here as well if you guys have any questions for him.
Thank you. Is this the back of the building or the front of the building?
That would be the south end of the building.
This is the south end facing the parking lot?
Yep.
Okay.
Greg, does somebody at the city go through the services they provide and make sure that all the services fall within what's allowed for personal services per city code?
They would have to. We do that through the business licensing.
Okay.
And so forth. And
so if they started, I don't know, I think tattoo requires a special permit based on the fact that we've heard one before, like that would be reviewed to make sure it didn't require a special.
If it did, we would. I can't remember if it's. I don't know if tattoo is a conditional use permit or not.
Okay, I was just trying to think of an example.
Yeah, David's shaking his head. I think he's processed a few of those through the tattoo parlors. And
is that a conditional use? Because we did hear one, and I don't remember why.
Well, you hear them because it was new buildings, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, though. But.
All right.
So. To follow up on that, just in case there are additional, I guess, medical services, I'm assuming fire reviewed this and has no concerns with appropriate emergency servicing the building in case of a complicated medical event.
Yeah, the fire department reviews all the plans.
Just want that on the record that there's no concerns with ambulances accessing the property. That's all I have.
Any other questions? Okay, at this time I'm going to open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening and you would like to address the commission on this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium. We ask that you state your name and where you reside for our records, and then you'll have 3 minutes to address the commission. Is there anyone in our auditorium that would like to address the commission? Okay, we're going to also extend the same opportunity to those on our Zoom format. If you've joined us this evening and would like to address the commission on this item, we ask that you please turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody online either, so I'm going to close this item to public comment and bring it back to the commissioners.
Oh, you have a hand.
Oh, I do.
Her hand was up a minute ago.
Ms. Harwell, would you like to address the commission on this item? If you would, please turn on your camera and you can unmute yourself.
Negative. I apologize. I hit the raise hand accidentally. Oh. I do not have any questions or public comments at this time. Thank you.
All right, staff. Thanks for catching that, helping me keep track. All right, then I am going to close this item to public comment and bring it back to the commission. As the staff report stated, I was on the architectural review committee for that particular meeting. I'd seen the board, but they seemed to like it and gave it a positive recommendation. They also seem to be okay with the location and the service it's providing, not that that's their purview, but that is another sampling of, obviously, residents of our city. So is there any further discussion or issues that we need to address?
The only one I have, and I think we've addressed it with this particular case, but and hopefully there's no other department turnover, and that there's other items in the future where it's maybe been posted and it goes to a representative who's no longer with the city. And we have to make sure that we emails and or voicemails so we can make sure we have those as part of the public record. I don't think there are any. I think you've confirmed that, Greg, that there hasn't been any, but just I just want to make sure. Hopefully, you know, you're not leaving now that you just got hired yesterday. So, but just I wanted to point that out on the record.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'd love to make a motion.
Please.
I move that the Planning Commission approve the site plan application file number PLSPR2021-00204 to allow for construction of a two-story personal services building in the CC zone at 10418 South Willow Valley Road.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there any discussion on that motion? Okay, then I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez, could we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Garvey?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Stark?
Yes.
Commissioner
Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner
Kettle?
Yes.
And Commissioner.
Yes. Okay. This passes unanimously. We look forward to seeing this go in our city. We thank you for having your business located here and also for coming this evening. It always helps the process to have the applicant present if there's questions. So thank you for that. All right. Our other item of business this evening falls under our legislative public hearings. And that is item I-1, Moderate Income Housing Plan Amendment, General Plan Amendment. And David has our staff report.
Okay, I'll give you a little background in case you haven't had a chance to look at the memo or anything. But basically, this was presented to you back last fall with some very minor updates that staff was informed was all we needed to do at that time. It was approved by the City Council, submitted to the state by the deadline that was required in October, and then we were notified in November that we were missing some more detailed information. We were one of approximately about 75 cities in the state that fell short according to their review. So we took some time as staff. Had some conversations with the Department of Workforce Services to make sure we were all on the same page. And we came up with this more detailed amendment, hoping that it goes above and beyond the minimum requirements. It was presented to the project manager for this, the Moderate Income Housing Plan review, that she gave a preliminary approval saying that it looks great. And so we're bringing it back before you and before the City Council before it's resubmitted to the DWS. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have regarding the changes or updates.
So just to make sure I understood your staff report right, it was more detail in the timeline associated with rolling these menu items out.
Right. So our initial plan that was approved in 2019 included the necessary strategies. We updated the language to reflect the new language that was approved last year, but they had also wanted a little bit more details for each strategy as far as the timeline and implementation steps that will take place in the future. So that's what was added to the amendment.
Okay. I read through everything you included in the staff report and felt like it still reflected everything that was approved in the past, but just with that additional clarification on timeline. Commissioners, questions, please.
I know the legislative session doesn't begin till I think next week, end of next week, but do we have any anticipation? Will they be making other amendments to this that we're going to have to do another update shortly thereafter? Do we have any inkling or...
That's a Mr. Simonson question.
I'm just wondering, you know, if there are going to be additional updates. Do we need to do this now and wait for those updates, or do we do this and do this again?
I think this is bringing us in compliance with HB whatever from 2019.
Yeah, so it's the requirement that's part of HB 462 that was from last year's legislative session.
And it was tied to public transportation funding, right?
Right, and road funding. Okay. So we had to have a certain amount of strategies in this report and then meeting those implementation requirements.
Okay.
So that needs to be resubmitted in the next, I think, month or two, in order to still fall in line with those requirements.
And can I just ask a technical question? Are there any penalties for failure to submit? Or is it just slap on your hand from the regulatory agency or their actions?
There's funding.
Oh, funding. So funding to the city.
Right. In order to be prioritized for funding for road or transportation, this needs to be in place. So.
And we're within a sort of grace window to remedy the deficiencies from the initial submission.
That's correct.
Okay.
Let's come back to your other question at the end of the meeting, because I am curious.
I think it's probably, I don't think anybody knows for sure if they're going to make any more changes, but it's highly probable. Every year they've been making more changes and making additional requirements or restrictions are making it, because the housing issue has not really resolved itself at this point. So,
and on that, sorry to jeopardize this conversation, but does the city have active dialogue with our representative and state senator for our input, or is that at the council level, the mayor level, or do we not have any? Should we, as citizens, be reaching out to them?
I am not positive who we do. I'm pretty sure there's staff that are in contact with our representatives in South Jordan. Also, I believe that probably the mayor is as well, but I don't know for sure exactly.
I think how I have often. An item for our joint session maybe in March.
I think Ryan Luce spends most of his time at the Capitol during the session, so I'm sure he's in contact with the representatives of South Jordan too. So, do you have anything?
Just confirmation that he's right about what he just said.
Okay. All right. Other questions for staff?
I have a couple questions. Just reading through it, I just had a couple of questions on page 2. It talked about the Jordan Gateway area, which includes Front Runner Station and one bus line. What geographic area of our city is included in that Jordan Gateway transit corridor? Like, what are we looking at? What portion of our city is included in that?
So that came after the general plan was approved in 2020. We worked with a consultant to come up with two sub-area plans to get more detailed look at two specific areas. One of those being the Front Runner Station area, as well as the area around the business park by Mulligan's. So it was kind of that general area that also encroached into the Front Runner Station area.
Okay, so what is it called? That River Bottoms area, is that included? That business park, is that the one you're talking about?
Yes.
That's included in the Jordan Gateway area. Okay. And then just another quick question. On page 5, it talks about the moderate income housing set aside, and it details the different options that are available, the grants and the down payment assistance programs. I remember vaguely hearing about a couple of these, but how would a member of the public find these programs now? Are they still active? Like, was this a one-time thing, or are those still options that members of our city could use?
I know that there was some funding that was available last year through the COVID time period for the CDBG program through the federal government. There was also some county-run programs. There was some effort made on the city to see if we could kind of create and run our own RDA program or our own like down payment assistance and things, programs like that to help residents. But we've been unsuccessful at figuring out how that would work financially and with the necessary staff. Okay. So that's kind of where we are right now. We're kind of in a holding pattern, but there are some options, I think, with the county still for that.
Okay. And then last question, I promise. The Daybreak ADU standards, I know those historically have been different than the city standards. And am I wrong in that?
That's correct.
Okay. So what are the ADU regulations in Daybreak? Is it the HOA that disallows that, or is that something that's in there?
It's not necessarily the Daybreak or their HOA. It's just our code states that the what zones ADUs are allowed in.
Okay.
And the PC zone is not one of them. And we have, over time, we've been working with Daybreak off and on about bringing the PC zone into the and adding it to them to the code section. However, they have some reservations on that because there is also our development agreement with them limits the number of housing units to 20,785. And if we what do we do if we allow them to have ADUs in basements? Does that count against that number of housing units? Because that's a separate unit. And we haven't. That's one of the things. And they're not. And we'd have to open up the development agreement to make some changes, maybe that way. And they're not as excited about opening up the development agreement because they like the way it's written now, and they don't want to probably have to worry about us trying to make changes to the development agreement, you know, in order to, you know. So it probably will happen someday, but it might be a longer process. Now, in Daybreak, they're allowed to have what they have always called ancillary units, and that was approved in the development agreement that they could have ancillary units, which were separate units above a garage with an exterior entrance that would go upstairs to that, a detached garage. There are a few of those, I would say more than a few, but several of those detached garages in parts of Daybreak that part of the original permit was to build a unit above that garage for a family member, or they can rent it out. And they also, with those units, they had to have one extra parking space on the property. But those are the only ADUs that are allowed, and that's through the development agreement. They've been allowed since 2003 on those. So.
Okay. And then the city has a minimum lot size where an ADU is allowed. Is that right?
Right. The minimum lot size, you have to have a 6,000 square feet.
Okay.
And that's another thing, that there aren't that many lots in Daybreak that are over 6,000 square feet. I mean, there's, and probably a lot of those already have the ancillary unit too, because those are the bigger lots that have those outside garages.
Other questions? Okay, then I'm going to open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to comment on this item, we invite you to come to the podium. Miguel, did you want to give it a spin? Okay. Can we go back to our online participants? Ms. Bowne or Mr. Jarman, would either of you like to? All right. Then I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission.
Chairman Hollis, would you take another comment from the staff?
I would.
Thank you. I'm sure you've read this, but I'd just like to direct your attention to page 3. Where it says 2022, and I'll just read a line or two from that. The city's continuing discussions with the Daybreak developer regarding the development of downtown Daybreak led to the city and Daybreak developer drafting an application for housing and Transit Reinvestment Zone. If approved, the Downtown Daybreak HTRZ will jumpstart the development of more than 100 acres in the Downtown Daybreak, which is situated along one of the one future and two existing track stations. Among other things, the HTRZ proposes more than 4,700 residential units, with more than 10% of those units being affordable. So to me, there's just, this is probably more me speaking as a citizen of South Jordan than a staffer, but there's two huge things going on in the city right now. The first is the one that I've just read to you. That 4,700 residential units in a 100-acre area, we're talking about densities that we've probably never seen in the city before. I mean, we're talking, you know...
47 per acre... Are they not allowed up to 50?
I think there's going to be more than that. I think there's going to be more than 50. And again, I'm not the person sitting in all the meetings and everything. This is what I'm getting in dribs and drabs. But this was these talks have been going on for a long time now with the mayor, the city council, and so forth. Back in 2008, I was on the UTA board. And one of the things we did as a board is we traveled down to Dallas and we got on their Dallas area rapid transit, DART. And we went up and down the line, and we got out at the stops, and we saw the development along there. And it was very, very high density, but it was really nice, as we walked through. And, you know, if that's the kind of lifestyle that you would enjoy with nice places and rapid transit close by and mixed use shops and everything within walking distance and those kind of things, I think that's kind of what they're trying to plan out there with entertainment. They're talking a ballpark possibly, and a lot of it's speculation at this point. But I think that'll all be coming at some point before the Planning Commission. There obviously have to be zoning changes for that to happen. And, you know, if it's 10% of 4,700 residential units and more than 10% of those are affordable, we're talking close to 500 affordable residential units there. The other big thing that you've probably seen from the recent city council meeting is that there has been an application now submitted by Kennecott Copper to annex more than 2,000 acres into the city, which is like historic and will need to be carefully managed and so forth. But they're talking about doing another daybreak kind of development agreement as part of that. And so anybody that hasn't liked the Daybreak development agreement or thought there should be some things different, now's the time to, as we go along here, to give your input to the legislative body. Anyway, sorry to take so much time, but I thought I'd just mention those things to you because I'm excited about it. It's big stuff.
I do have a question about the HTRZ. Is that money going to come from the city's, is it the RDA fund? I'm going to get the terminology wrong. Will it be deed restricted kind of?
At least a significant amount of the money is, as I understand it, is set to be redevelopment agency money, which comes from tax called the tax increment money that comes out of property tax that would otherwise, and again, I'm not an expert on this, but otherwise go to other entities within the city, including schools. The idea behind it, as I understand it, is, okay, we will get all of this. This will jumpstart this thing, but then on the back end, it will be more than recouped as part of the development process and sales taxes and all the other things that come out of this. And again, I am not an expert on redevelopment agencies. Brian Priest is our city person that has got the expertise on that and heads the redevelopment agency. So if you wanted to call him and talk to him about it, that's the guy to call.
Sorry, I have a couple more questions now. Sorry. Now that we're talking about this, with these developments that are coming in close to our transit centers, like the track stations and the front runner station, and we're talking about eliminating or reducing parking requirements for these locations, are there going to be like requirements for these developers to like provide incentives for residents to utilize the public transit systems, or like required to provide access to these public transit systems? Like, how close do they have to be to these transit hubs to qualify for some of these reduced parking requirements?
I thought it was quarter mile to reduce.
Currently in Daybreak, if they're within a quarter mile, they can reduce the parking spaces for residential by one space per unit to requirement. So they have to be a quarter mile. Anything more than a quarter mile has to meet the requirements that are set.
Okay.
And that's usually two per unit.
I just want to say one thing on that topic. I understand the theory. I don't think it's reality.
No.
I think every adult, regardless of how close they live to transit in Utah, has a car. So, but that's my personal opinion.
And it's probably true because the adults not only need to get to work, which they can ride transit to, but then they need to, how are they going to get to the grocery store or take their kids to school? And you know, we have, and most families have two working adults in it, so they usually have to have two cars. So, but yeah, that's correct.
Have we ever required developers to provide incentives or access or anything to kind of incentivize their residents to use the public transit systems rather than?
I don't think we have. I don't know of any. I know that I think the ones by the apartment units near the Front Runner station, I heard that they were offering their tenants passes to UTA passes as part of their rent, but they're probably paying for that through their rent. But anyway, so.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I might have one.
Please.
Does anyone know roughly how many households there are in South Jordan? I looked it up, and I think it's about 24,000. Does that sound correct?
I think it's closer to 29,000.
29,000. So we're talking about a 16 to 17% increase with those 4,700 units in that area,
but
to the total city.
Right, but they're still in Daybreak. They can't go over the 20,185. It'll just be part of those.
Part of that.
Yeah, so okay. It'll make the
though.
Number of households jump. And generally, depends on what if this is going to be this dense, it's likely there will be condominiums or apartment units with that density, and they tend to have smaller household sizes. Now, the townhomes and single family, those they have a higher, you know, the average. So,
thanks.
Questions in here? Okay. Commissioners, any further discussion that we need to have on this item? I think I was on the commission when the menu items were selected. Maybe we all were. I don't know. And I do feel like the appropriate ones were selected for our city. So if this brings us into compliance with those items that were already selected, then I'm in favor of this.
Madam Chair, if there's no further discussion, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Please.
Sorry, I'm going to probably butcher this, so please feel to make amendments on me here. But I move that based on our discussion this evening and the staff report that we, the South Jordan Planning Commission, have reviewed the proposed amendment to the housing plan and make a positive recommendation to the City Council to adopt.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there any discussion on that motion? Okay, then I will second Commissioner Gedge's motion. Ms. Valdez, could we get a roll call vote, please? Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Stark?
Yes.
Commissioner Catwell?
Yes.
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Okay, this will move forward to the City Council with a 6-0 positive recommendation in its favor. As with any legislative item, this body is just a recommending body, and City Council will make the final decision. All right, with that, do we have any other business this evening, staff, commissioners?
I have a favor, if that's okay.
Sure.
I haven't been receiving emails since I started, so I don't get staff recommendations or reports ahead of this meeting. And I'm not sure if the other commissioners are, but if information is being disseminated in advance, I would love to receive that.
So staff can comment on this.
Are you getting your agenda?
I'm not getting, no.
Have you activated your city email?
Because it's going to your city email.
So I have looked. I can take this offline. I haven't received that, but we can follow up offline. I just want to make sure that I'm plugged in.
Yep.
Thank you.
You can, there's also a way through the state. They have a meeting.
Utah Public Notice website.
Notice, and
sometimes
you can
do that as well.
But, so I get both. I get both, and then I go online and the Planning Commission website and look at the
packet. The packet that you would get an email on is. Do you just?
It's just agenda, but there's the links that go to the city website.
That's where you review the packet.
So the Thursday before our meetings, Ms. Valdez has the packet up on the city website. I'll send you a link.
Thank you.
But also any public comment that staff receives, they do forward to our city.
That's true.
Email.
So you do want to get your
so
city
you
email.
True.
I called IT to get set up, and it was a little bit.
I know that the last time that we sent something out, we included you in that email. You know, astarks@sjc.utah.gov. But okay. So I didn't come back saying that you didn't, you know, so yeah. I don't know. Maybe this, if you're not getting something and you've activated that email, I think that we can talk to the guys in the booth there.
you know what I think actually happened? I think is last year when I was appointed, we had a discussion about, you know, getting onboarded, which included the picture and meeting with HR, and that just never happened. Yeah. So I think an email was created, but I'd never received instructions on how to access that, and mm-hmm. passwords, and so that's okay. It may have been my fault, but
okay,
yeah.
I got kicked out when I got reappointed. So if you call IT, he'll okay. walk you right through it and get you set up immediately.
That's
so helpful. You can log into your email.
That's helpful.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
You could probably
and that's
see
what
the
I
guy
did.
On the other side of that window in there.
He's excited.
Yeah.
I can tell.
He is the one driving
yep.
the snow right now.
No sweat. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Anything else?
Yeah, can we just, to the annexation email that Mr. Lewis sent out, we kind of discussed it here mm-hmm. on the last item, but I know it's over 2,000 acres. You just brought up that it might be a development agreement. I'm assuming a PC zone, but what will be the, I guess, the public input process? Will there be public hearings? Would it come before us before the City Council adopts? Just what's the, since none of us, you know, I was a little kid when Daybreak process was approved.
There probably won't be a lot of input on the development agreement, but obviously there are public hearings because it'll probably have to be rezoned. That'd be a land use amendment and a rezone for the property. And so that goes both before the Planning Commission and the City Council. And I'm not sure, you know, at what point
then the public comment period, that's it's really early in the game. We just received the application a week ago, so.
And that was my next question.
For the annexation, the annexation part, it works a little bit differently, but I don't think the annexation goes before the Planning Commission. I can't remember. It's been so long since we had one, but the City Council will have to approve that as well.
It's a good thing we approved an annexation policy last year, right? Or recommended.
A coincidence.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything.
So, because of the location of this annexation, if Rio Tinto decides to develop more of their property in the future, especially to the north of this, it's all adjacent to South Jordan City as well. What's being proposed for annexation now is could have been annexed. It was part of Harriman's annexation plan as well, but. Rio Tinto determined that South Jordan was the place to be, thank goodness.
But I think what you're getting to, and it's worth stating, is it's good to be involved in the process early because we often see things that obviously have had a lot of preliminary 20
years after the development agreement is executed, just so we can refer people to the process when they do come back. I'm assuming that when this is approved, if it's 5 years, 10 years, I won't be on this body anymore. But at least we could leave some sort of guidance for the citizens of the process of what to go to and what was the thinking behind. And obviously, this would be probably not the number one item I would have for the March 7th joint meeting. Hopefully, if it's allowed to be, I don't know, it has a secret code name or something that other developments have. But
so far, no. But it's.
I liked your day break 2.0.
And the zone will be PC. So that I do know.
Commissioners, off the top of your head, know which council districts it touches?
I can answer that.
Yeah.
That will be part of District 4.
Yes.
Because, all of the annex area bounds with District 4 right now, so it will be incorporated in District 4. None of the annexation area currently has any residents in it, which makes that process a lot easier in many ways. Just to answer your question, Commissioner Gedge, or to follow up with it, we've taken the first step in this annexation process. We've received the annexation and we approved it. However, it has to go through several hands, many processes, clear up through the Lieutenant Governor before it becomes recorded and officially part of the city. So that will take a significant amount of time. Who knows, whose hands it has to go through between here and there, but Greg, you can correct me, but I don't think we will be looking at zoning or land use for a few months at least.
And just one question on that, where it goes through different processes. Do we have any feeling or conversations with our neighbors to Harriman to the south that they will be opposing this at any level?
I don't think so. Actually, there's not much they can do to oppose it because... Since the property owner is the only, there's not any population in it that can oppose it. It's the property owner, and if the property owner has chosen to annex to South Jordan, there's nothing really Harriman can do about it.
No, it's good just because of the seminar we went to in November on the Southwest Valley. It seemed contrary from representatives from that city. So I'm just asking if we've heard anything more formally. I know this is all probably relatively new, at least to us, who aren't working on this day to day. But
okay. I don't know if they've presented their other annexation proposal, but they are proposing to annex into Harriman a portion that is actually south of 118 South and east of Bacchus Highway. Everything west of Bacchus Highway is what they're proposing for South Jordan, but there is a piece of property. It's not nearly as big as this, but they are, I think they intend to, if they haven't already applied for, oppose the annexation into Harriman of that piece, since it makes more sense for them to be in Harriman with that piece.
I do know that there have been numerous discussions with Harriman City regarding this annexation, and some concessions have been made regarding it with future street alignments and things of that nature. And we are annexing right up to their existing boundary currently, so.
And I know Jeremy had to leave, but I'm assuming that the discussions is fire and police access, and, you know, won't be impacted for the rest of the city with this, or the city will dedicate additional resources that those of us on the eastern side, the older part of South Jordan, won't be negatively impacted with this annexation.
Well, I don't know how that's working. I haven't been part of any of the discussions, so that's all much higher level.
In fact, we're discussing station locations and future streets right now, so that's
perfect.
It's happening.
I'm just wondering on the record. Something happens to me.
I'd say you won't be impacted by a closing of a fire station, don't worry, but you will be impacted by building new ones because the entire city pays for as growth goes. So,
I think there's been discussion of higher taxes on your street.
I'm pretty sure just and one residence on that street as
special,
well.
Special tax district. The NG zone.
Yeah.
Floating. It follows you.
Yeah, it's going to get anywhere. If I move the Daybreaker anywhere, it's going to
anywhere
follow
anywhere in South Jordan.
All right. Anything else?
Oh, just our next agenda. We usually ask just how does it look like for our next meeting? Are we looking like we're having a next meeting just with the economy and everything?
Currently, it doesn't look like you're having a next meeting.
Okay. Really?
It's unless something pops up between by the end of this week, because we have to send out notices. There'll probably be something definitely the meeting after that. Again, I have an item that's scheduled for that meeting, but it's not Daybreak again. So.
Wow. You're branching out. Yeah. New Year's resolution. I like it.
But the last time I looked, there wasn't anything on the agenda for the next Planning Commission meeting.
All right,
actually, when I looked today, there were three items. So
not
to rain on your parade.
David.
And I actually added one of those. So.
Oh, he put them on there.
Miguel, don't be David.
It came up in our staff meeting this morning about there weren't any items on the next meeting. So I didn't look since then. So anyway.
The other two are demure, so you can blame him.
I will. He'll hear about it.
Oh, they're demures. How nice.
Don't be demure either.
Because
I'm kidding. Thank you very much.
Demir put him on the agenda because he won't be here to present. So I guess he gets to do it for you.
So we can't even let him.
He's on vacation starting tomorrow for 2 weeks. So
nice. That's a smart. Slick move.
He's going to Europe.
Lucky. All right. Then if that's it, I will move that we adjourn.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay. We'll see you in 2 weeks.